Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead and receive our Sunday morning offering. If we can have our ushers come, please. And if you'll be turning through your books, page 183, 183. Normally we just do two verses for offering. These verses are pretty short, so let's do 1, 2, and 6. Verses 1, 2, and 6, page 183. And just a reminder, the gold colored plates, that's the regular tithes and offering. And that silver plate there is our flower fund, so that's what the two different kind of plates are. And Brother John, would you ask the blessing on the offering for us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance to be in your house today. I'd be with each and every one of you today. I'd like to suffer and use it to be with you. Please, please. Please,
please.
Remember that.
that. Look forward to enjoying that. Let's see here. We also have, there's a youth event on May 24th. So that's going to be going to Dan Nicholas Park. Y'all will meet at the church at 9 a.m. and bring back lunch. Or I guess whatever, it doesn't be a bag, but bring lunch with you. So remember that. That will be, see, that's this coming Saturday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because it'll be the day of the week. So do remember that. And then also remember that a week from this Wednesday will be the Camp Eaton Rally. That will be at Mount Calvary, normal Wednesday night service time at 7 o'clock, right? Yeah. I just know when I get home from work, I don't have much time to get ready to release. Right, yeah. So it's a week from Wednesday, so do remember that. Be praying for that. That's Mount Calvary Baptist on Hillbridge Road. And then, you know, in June, we've got a camp meeting coming up, and that is June 9th through the 18th. And probably everybody in here knows, but if you don't, there's a road, and actually it's called Camp Meeting Road, isn't it?
Yes.
That goes down by Bottom Gospel Baptist Church right out here on 18. It's not, if you're heading the other way, it's right past it's past the Dollar General, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the left, so if you turn on Camp Meeting Road and you get up there, the driveway into the camp meeting, you can't see it until you're on top of it, so it'll sneak up on you. But you go up in there, and that's where the camp meeting is. So do be much in prayer for that. And remember, on Monday nights, folks have been meeting to pray for the camp meeting at 7 o'clock, right, at Amy's Chapel. So remember that, and everybody is welcome to that. So regardless of whether you're able to go to those special prayer meetings or whether it's just in your daily prayer time, please do remember the camp meeting, that the Lord would move in that we would worship Him, that the Lord would work among us. And we always look forward to that as a time to just have unity with some of the surrounding churches.
Amen.
And always look forward to that. Pray for these men. Several of them actually are all of them coming from out of town, aren't they? We got one from South Carolina, one from Tennessee, and one from Georgia. So the surrounding states are well represented. So I do remember that. Is there anything I'm forgetting on announcements? I know Bible school's coming up, camp's coming up. Those two were in July, right? Those are both in July. So we got just a little bit of time on those. But is there anything else? See, now that, right, the ladies' meeting got moved to this coming Thursday, right? This coming Thursday at 6:30. Okay, so y'all do remember that, the women's Bible study. So remember that. Anything else? Okay, so we're going to come pray this morning. Who's got a request of prayer by the lifted hand? Amen. All over the house, just remember these. I got to let some people know, and some people weren't here Wednesday night. I do praise the Lord. My MRI came back clean. And they said it that way. They said it was normal. So I figured that was probably, you know, not only did they not find what they didn't want to find, but they found what they wanted to find. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I think some of the people that know me best are wondering how that could be possible. But, you know, either way, we praise the Lord for His deliverance and His help in that. So I'm very thankful for that. So several prayers the Lord has answered for us recently. And you know, I'm just so grateful and thankful. And that's what we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. You know, we don't deserve a bit of it, and yet He's good to us anyway. I'm not a good preacher. I'm the same way. I feel like I'm the worst Christian that I know, because I know the stuff that I think and shouldn't think, and the stuff that I'm not willing to do that I ought to be willing to do after everything that God has done for me. And yet He still answers prayers.
Right.
I see so many people that are better Christians than me going through way worse stuff than what I'm going through. And, you know, I don't have an answer other than God's grace, and I'm very thankful for it. Pray for our pastor this morning as he comes. He's got a burden on his heart for the message that the Lord is giving. Just pray that God's will be done and that He will prepare us to receive it. You know, when that seed is sown, the Lord will hold the ground and be ready. A lot of times we're not careful. We're not ready to hear the word of the Lord. We've got a mind on everything else. You know, all that stuff that's out there, most of which actually does not matter at all in the eternal scheme of things. But just pray that God would give us rest. He'd do a work among us. We've got several that are not able to be here with us this morning. Brother Robert is having issues with some of the stuff that has been ongoing for him. So continue to pray for Brother Robert. Pray for Miss Cerisa again about her job. We do appreciate getting to see some back. I've not been feeling well. I meant to ask, and I have not had a chance to ask this morning, is Karen still feeling bad? I noticed her and Keith aren't here this morning.
No, they're fine.
They're good. Okay, okay, so that's it. Okay. I appreciate the Lord helping them. So, who else has got a request that you want to make mention of this morning?
I
good to be at the Lord's house this morning.
Amen.
Thank God for letting us come in and worship once again.
Yes, sir.
Like I said this morning, I'm thankful that I'm going that way.
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing it is to know that no matter what, I'm going to be with Jesus.
Right.
I thank God for that. I appreciate that. I appreciate you telling us that this morning, Brother Garner.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't know, I've been requesting prayer for his wife for the last few weeks. That's good to hear that report. Thank God for that. Amen. Amen. That's a blessing. But that's the thing I've been requesting prayer for his wife that has been sick. And I appreciate you praying.
Amen.
I appreciate the Lord for doing great things. Amen. Pray that he continues to, brother. Remember, youth camp coming up. We're going to get some permission slips. And all it is just for my records. I don't have to turn anybody, but I'll take it with me. If you're a parent of a child and you're going, we don't necessarily need one because you're going to be there, right? But, you know, if you're sending your kid, basically I need it because it's going to have on there, you know, the contact information, and it's also going to have on there, you know, any kind of medical information we might need in case there ever is an emergency or anything. Let's just pray we won't ever need it. We don't have it either way. Because Lord knows my nerves probably couldn't handle it if one of these kids, something happened to them, they got sick or there's some kind of medical emergency or something like that. I'd probably tell Quinn to do something about it. Quinn, do something.
I got sleep deprivation last year, so.
Yeah. That's not a medical emergency. But in any case, they're making fun of me because I snore. And because I'm insomniac, I stay up half the night and I talk to you until like 3 in the morning. Then I'll go to sleep and I'll wake up at like 5:30 and I'll be like, ready to eat breakfast. But in any case. Yeah. But be looking forward to that. What else was it, honey? Oh, they said that by next Monday, which is Memorial Day, not tomorrow, but next Monday by Memorial Day, we need as close as we can get to a final head count. So if you've been thinking about going and you haven't made up your mind yet and you want to go, then put your name on the list and we'll get you counted. Or if you want a t-shirt, for those of you that's going to come visit one day or something, if you want a t-shirt, make sure to put your name on the list. Because if you want to get the t-shirt, then you got to have the size and, you know, so on and so forth. So if you're going to plan on coming up, just being there a day or two or whatever, then you can write that down as well. All right. I think that's all I had. Oh, yeah, the question for tonight. It's at 5. Foundation study question is, what are attributes of God? You can name up to 3 if you like. If you want to just name one, you can name one, you can talk about it. You can give some scripture that supports that. You can tell why that helps and encourages you to know that about God. Attribute of God is, you know, like things that are exclusive to God, like, you know, that he is good, he is holy, just for some examples. But there's quite a few of them. If you can do a Google search, that ain't illegal. It won't disqualify you. Amen. I thank God for Google. It helps me out. I'm just a dumb redneck. Saves me a lot of reading. But in any case, but yeah, come tonight if you're able. It'll help you. It'll bless you. And you'll be able to learn and grow together with us. All right. Well, Tommy, Brother Charles, Miss Jerry, y'all going to sing for us? Amen. Appreciate them being willing to come and sing. Thank God for having some talent. If you have a talented preacher, his church really goes somewhere.
I believe God.
All the singing talent and everything else. I appreciate these folks being willing. Amen. Miss Jerry, how long y'all been singing in church?
I've been singing.
Ever since you was 5 years old. Well, we're going to ask you how long that's been. Well, Charles, how long have you been singing in church?
Close to 7 years.
Close to 7 years. Praise God. Amen. Still getting up here and doing it for God's glory. Amen.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Amen.
It's not that this road has always been easy. The news been great, you never knew me. I promise you peace and assurance things were. I kept so overflowing, I'm living in favor upon the provision of the hand of the Savior. I'll live my voice and forever I'll praise His name.
You're not plugged up.
Thank you. can be old man while you're up there.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Bless you.
Amen.
I believe I
I believe if you can't shout about it here, I believe you will shout about it over there. Amen. We've been preaching on eschatology, and that just simply means the study of end times prophecy. And we started out, we talked about the spirit of Antichrist and how that it's working in the world. And we went on from there to talk about the rapture of the church, which will happen right before this Antichrist figure comes into power and these 7 years of tribulation begin down here on earth. We talked about the things that will happen in the first part of that tribulation. We talked about the things that will happen in the second part of that tribulation period, at the end of which will be that battle of Armageddon, where the Lord will come back with the saints. As you and I and everyone who has been saved by God's grace, that has been part of that rapture, has been there, or was martyred and killed during the tribulation time. They will come back to the Lord, and he will return, not as a baby, not as a sacrifice, but as a king to reign and rule. He will take the Antichrist and the false prophet that preaches the Antichrist at that time, and he will cast them into the lake of fire, Bible says, which is not hell. Hell is a holding place for everyone who dies without Christ, without faith in God. But the lake of fire is a place that was created and preserved for the devil and his angels. And the first ones going are the Antichrist and the false prophet. Satan at that time will be captured, he will be bound, he will be locked away for 1,000 years, during which time Christ will rule and reign on the earth. And we will be here with him. At the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed for a small time, in which he will amass a great army to come against Christ and against Jerusalem and that holy city of Zion there in Israel. And he will try to overthrow him once again, as he did at the beginning of time, whenever he just tried to raise his throne higher than that of God's. And at that time, the Lord will put an end to all of that. He will defeat him swiftly. It will not be a long battle. And then Satan will be cast into that lake of fire. Now immediately following this, we get to where we're at this morning, which is in Revelation chapter 20. We left off Wednesday night. We talked about that millennial reign and the defeat, the final defeat of Satan and his doom. Now, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, we have just left that millennial reign, that 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, that final battle, the defeat of Satan. We talked about all the prophecies in the Old Testament and in the Gospels pertaining to that. And now we get to this time of judgment, this end judgment, this final judgment, where there will be no more judgment given. That all of God's justice will be rendered for the last time, the final time, the ultimate time at this time. And when we begin reading, we'll begin reading in verse 11, and I want to read through verse 15. And the Bible says this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Father, I pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of your word. And God, that you would take your word, that you'd preach it to us, to open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. God, I pray that you would make sure that this morning, God, that we can hear and receive your word. Only you can do that, God. There is none other. There is no excuse. There is nothing that can stop it, Lord. I pray that you, Lord, would open our minds and our ears and help us this morning, Lord, that you would render unto us conviction, and God, that you would render unto us thankfulness and praise to your name for your word. It's Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. And we thank you for saying that. Amen. Thank you for saying that. Appreciate that. As we read, we need to understand, first of all, that there will be a final judgment. This is something that God has reserved, and He said in His Word, He said, His vengeance not mine. It is something that He's reserved for Himself. The Bible teaches man not to judge. Now, I know society today, they turn that into something that it does not mean.
Right.
They would say that we're not to discern.
Right.
They would say that if you go and you invite someone to church, or you talk to them about the Lord Jesus, or you know, you invite them to be born again, they'd say, well, you're judging me. That's just discerning. Hey, look, if a tree has leaves like an apple tree, and it's got apples that grows on it, and it's ready to drop at the end of summer, then I'm pretty sure that's an apple tree.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what the Bible says. A good tree bears good fruit, and a corrupt tree bears evil fruit.
Yeah.
And so we discern and we see, and you can see the difference between someone who's been born again and someone who is not. And this is the thing. I've been born again, but I am not perfect by any means. If you've been born again, you are not perfect. Praise God, you're in the same boat I am. But I want to say this, that the Spirit of God is coming to my heart. Praise God, I'm not who I used to be, amen. And what I want to do with my life is I want to serve God. I want to be on His side, no matter what's going on. I want to be on the side of the Lord. I'm not on my friend's side. I'm not on the world's side. I'm on God's side,
amen.
I thank God for what He's done in my life and transforming me. But He tells us not to judge. Now, judgment is the act of deciding what kind of punishment someone is worthy of. Hey, I want to say this. It says, judge not that you be not judged. That means that if I'm going around saying this one ought to go to hell, this one ought to go to heaven, I'm glad God don't do it that way.
Hey.
I'm glad that God offered salvation to all of mankind.
Yeah.
And then whenever it said that, for God so loved the world, I'm glad that did not exclude any peoples. I'm glad that everyone has access to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if anybody would have been excluded, it would have been me. And I'm glad that I have that access this morning. And so when the Bible tells us not to judge, why? It's because that is an act that is reserved for God alone. Amen. And in this time, it's something that He's waited a long time to hand out. Is this final justice that will be given to all of creation. And in this time, it says that there is a white throne. It's a great and a white throne. If you remember, whenever John first begins to see the vision of the Lord, there is a throne there. And it's a throne of majesty. It's kind of the same vision that Isaiah seen in Isaiah chapter 6. And he seen the beings there that were around the throne, and they cried day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And he was able to see the majesty, the glory, and the holiness of a holy God. Now we know this, that in this time, whenever that this throne is here, the one who sits on that throne is absolutely 100% Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the Father has given all judgment to the Son, and that He will be the judge in the final day. Now we know this, that God the Father, God the Son are one.
Yeah.
Now I don't know how to reconcile that and explain that. Good luck to you if you want to try to do it. I know this, that God is an infinite being. And He has some infinite concepts about Him that my finite mind can't understand, nor can it even begin to explain.
Yeah.
But the Word of God says it, and I believe it. Amen? Now, in looking at this, we know that it will be Jesus Christ who is there. It'll be the same one who has offered forgiveness of sin, who has offered the option to be passed from judgment. Amen. He will be the one that is there, that will be this judge in this final day and in this final hour. Now before I get carried away, let me go to my notes. So first of all, I want to see this. The Bible says that there will be this judgment. He saw Him there in judgment. And it says, the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place found for them. There's not going to be any running from this judgment. There's going to be no escape. It says that they will want to ask, who will be there? who is going to be in this judgment? First of all, it says, he says, I saw the dead.
Right.
He says, I saw the dead. Everyone who has died, everyone who is mortal, everyone who must die will be in this judgment. Now there has been some speculation as to whether or not that the righteous will be in this judgment. I couldn't say definitively. I've heard my whole life it preached and said that the redeemed will not be at the white throne of judgment. But there's some scripture that makes me wonder or question whether or not that is so. However, I know this, we will not be a part of this judgment. Okay, so if we was to go and we was to look at Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31 through 46, that's where the Bible talks about Jesus says that the judgment, that there will be a separation of the sheep from the goats. That he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And there'll be a separation there. And then again in Psalm 1, the Bible says this in Psalm 1, that the unrighteous are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And it says that they will not stand in the judgment. It says that neither shall they sit in the congregation of the righteous, indicating that the righteous very well could be there. Again, in Psalm 58, it says that we will rejoice. The righteous will rejoice when we see the vengeance and wash our feet in the blood of the wicked. And we could say that that's talking about that battle of Armageddon when it talks about that he treads out the winepress of the wrath of God and the blood runs out of the horses' bridles. We could say that he's talking about that, but in the very next verse it talks about judgment in Psalm 58. And so, like I said, I can't say whether or not that we would be there or wouldn't be there. I believe that the Bible does indicate that it's a likelihood that the righteous could be there, not as part of the judgment, but as witnesses to the judgment.
Yes, yes.
I believe that that's possible. I believe that it's plausible. I believe that it's probably likely. But I ain't gonna argue with nobody about it.
Yeah.
It's not a hill worth dying on, but I will say this, that I can say this definitively. And this is something that is a hill worth dying on. This is something I'm zealous of. We were talking about that word this morning in Sunday school. That the righteous, those that have been born again, those that have been redeemed from the world, that they will not be part of this judgment. Amen.
Yeah.
They will not be part of this judgment. And I thank God for that. But who will be there? It says that the dead will be there. Everyone who has died, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. That means it's an appointment. It's an appointment that must be kept, that everyone who is mortal, everyone who lives and breathes on this earth, that death is something that is going to why? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But I'm thankful that the free gift of God is eternal life. Amen. You know this? What the Bible tells me is this, is that because I've been born again, the Bible says I'll never taste death. Amen. It says, but I'll be passed from death unto life. Amen. Because of what Jesus Christ has done in paying my sin debt and in giving me forgiveness, offering that which I could not be for myself, but offering forgiveness that I could come into a relationship with Him and that I would not have to pay the wages of my sin, which is death.
Amen.
That first death. So in those that have been part of that first death, it says they will be there. And it says that there will be the dead. In verse 12 of Revelation 20 says, I saw the dead, both small and great. And so we can see that he's talking about not just the dead, but he's talking about the dead of both small and great. That means that God is no respecter of persons, the Bible says. It doesn't matter how much money they've got. It doesn't matter how much influence they have. It doesn't matter if they were unnoticed. It doesn't matter. You say, well, what about the those that have, obviously, in our way of thinking, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that think that they're above God. There's probably a lot of these billionaires and a lot of these politicians and a lot of monarchs and dictators in the world, which really they think they're above God. And they think that they're somehow going to, just tell God how it's going to go like they've done their whole lives and tell people how it's going to go. That ain't going to be the case. They're going to be there. They're going to be part of that judgment. The Bible says they'll stand before God in this judgment. Now when it says that they'll stand before God, that doesn't mean that they're standing proud. Like I said in Psalm 1, it says that they will not stand in the judgment. But it's two different words. It's talking, one's talking about that they'll not be standing the way that the sinners did in Psalm 1. If you remember in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. That means that they stand or zealous, again, there that word, for the things of the world, and so they stand for the things of the world. But as the Bible says, that in the day of judgment, they'll not stand any longer in that way. There's a lot of folks out there today. There's a lot of people that stand for ungodly things. There's a lot of politicians. There's a lot of people today that will stand for ungodly things. They support the marriage of homosexuals, and they support the murder of babies in the womb. They support the godlessness that goes on in this world. Politicians, they want to support every single type of Hindu there is. They want to give them rights and make sure they have their rights. And I don't know, I have nothing against anybody having their rights to be able to do freely, okay? I don't want to take away anybody's rights. I believe that that's a blessing that we have as being Americans, is to be able to have the rights to be free. And freedom means free, okay? But at the same time, they want to be sure to protect the rights of every Hindu, every Muslim, every witch and Wiccan, or whatever the case may be. But if you say you're a Christian and your rights are all of a sudden limited, you know why that is? It's because they hate God, they hate Christ, and that spirit of that Antichrist is at work in the world right now already, and we can see it as we look out and we see it happening right now. But there's plenty of people right now that stand for all kinds of things, but in the judgment of God, they will not stand. They will not be so proud of what they're doing. Matter of fact, the Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Every Hindu will bow down and confess. Every Muslim is going to bow down and confess. Everyone that hates God and despises God and says, I'll do it my way, they'll bow down and confess. There's plenty of professors at college campuses right now that are doing all they can to convince young people that there is no God and that they are only accountable to themselves. They ought to say that one day they'll not stand, but those knees will bow. But now when it says here that they're going to stand, it's not talking about they're going to stand proudly. It's talking about they're going to stand like you're waiting in line at the DMV. You don't want to be there, but you got no choice.
Yeah.
It ain't like standing in line for a buffet. You want to be there. Some of y'all skinny, you might not want to be there, but I don't want to be there. No, it's going to be like you ain't got no choice, but you just got to be there. There ain't nothing else you can do. Means that he's going to bring them there whether they want to be or not.
Right.
It's not a matter of their choice anymore. He gave them a choice down here, like he's given everybody the choice.
Amen.
To believe in the name of Jesus Christ and be born again, or to continue doing it your own way. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, the end thereof is destruction. But he says that he saw them stand there, both small and great. Not only those who would be great and powerful, but even those, even homeless people on the streets, they don't get a pass.
Right.
People in third world countries living in poverty, they don't get a pass. He says, both small and great, you know what? You know what the difference is? It's whether or not they have the blood of Jesus applied to them. That is what he's looking for. We think back to that Passover that they celebrate year after year. And he said that you take that blood, he said you put it over the door. He said when the death angel comes, he says, where I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The only way to be passed over the judgment of God is to have the blood applied, and where he sees the blood. That's the only way to escape. So the dead will be there, those that have died, and they'll stand before God. And it says there were books open. Another book is open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So then we ask this question. First of all, let me say this before we ask that question. Will there be any escape? Answer is no.
Right.
If you're familiar with the book of Romans in chapter 1, it talks about those who received a reprobate mind because they continued in sin and they love sin. And it says that there is no excuse for them because of the things that they've done. And then in Romans 2, it continues on that. And it says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man.
Yes.
Whoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impotent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. There will be no escape for anyone. There will be no escape for anybody. Now I'm going to say this, the great man in his palaces with his power, his authority, and his money will not be able to bribe God.
Right.
He will not be able to call in any favors for God. He will not be able to do anything to sway God or change his mind. Now I'm going to say this, that the poor man that's on the street will have no excuse. He's not going to be able to say, well, I didn't have this, and I didn't have that, and I didn't have this. And in each case that it is, God is going to tell them, he's going to say, you have no excuse. He's going to say, I tried to reveal myself to you. He's going to say, you fled from me. He's going to say, you hardened your heart against me. And these books are open, and the books are read. And here's the question, what is this judgment wherewith we will be judged, or they will be judged? What will be recorded in the books? First of all, the things that are recorded in the books, obviously, is the works. The Bible says that they're judged according to their works. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Listen to this, three of the most important words in this scripture. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And it goes on to say, and such were some of you, but you have been washed, you have been cleansed, you have been redeemed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, know this and understand this, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a lot of folks out there today, and they believe that God's just going to have to take them the way they are. I believe that way once upon a time. I said, you know what? I said, well, I might not be in church, and I might not be living right, and I might like to get out and party on the weekends, and I might like to run around and do a lot of things that tell me it's wrong, but you know what? I think if they is the God, he's probably all right with that. And I'm going to say, he ain't all right with that.
Amen.
And I'm glad that one day he showed me he wasn't all right with that.
Amen.
And hey, I want to tell you, Preacher Billy, I was scared to death. I was going to die and go to hell, but praise God, he went on a step further. He didn't just show me where I stood condemned, but he showed me his own mercy and love, and he showed me his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I thank God for that.
Yes,
sir. He didn't leave me where I was at. He showed me where I was at, the preacher. He didn't leave me there. I thank God.
Amen.
The Bible says that do not be deceived. There's so many out there to deceive. Satan is working so hard to deceive people nowadays. He said you can look how you want to. Don't worry about that. All people's just judging you. Hey, I want to say this. If you was really to meet God, if you was really to meet Jesus, I'm talking about the same Jesus, amen, and that is the God of heaven, the God of holiness, the God of righteousness. If you was to meet him right now, if you was to see him as John sitting on that throne and in all his glory, and I want to say this, would there not be some things in your life that you'd want to straighten out in me?
Yeah.
I know they is for me.
Yeah.
And they was for me in that day. I realized God wasn't going to accept me that way. I remember there was a boy who was there, and he was, I'm going to have to camp out in my sister's driveway. This is going to sound ridiculous. He was wearing a tutu, like a ballerina wears, and a blonde wig. And my first thought was anger. And I thought, you know, I grew up on this road, and I didn't have to see this, and I don't want my kids having to see this. And I don't know, if I wouldn't have been honest with God, the truth, if I wouldn't have been so scared of disease, I'd probably tried to hurt him somehow to get him out of there. Because others had asked him to leave, and he wouldn't. But I went down, the Lord got the better of it, thank God.
Yeah.
I went down, I talked to him about the Lord. And I asked him this, I said, are you a homosexual? He done his hands like this, and he said, well, no crap. That's what he called me. I look at him, you know. He said, basically said, duh. I said, I asked him something. I said, are you going to stand before God like that one day? And he said, well, yeah, I guess I will. He said, I don't think God will have a problem with it. You know, I went on to witness that book. I thought about that. And at the time, I was angry, but I thought about that, and that thought had never quite left me. And I feel so sorry for him.
Yeah.
And I feel so sorry for anybody who's been deceived and thinking. Says, right. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived.
Yeah.
It says, those who sin against God, it says, they're not going. But the only escape, the Bible says, when these books are open, and that every work that you've done is recorded in these books. Everything that I've done, that you've done, has been recorded in these books. Every sinful action that has taken place, every lie that's been told, has been recorded in these books. And there's a record kept up.
Yep.
And they're going to read these things. And everybody's going to wait their turn. You think that DMV line's bad and you have to wait a while. Everyone's going to get their chance. These books are going to be opened. These books are going to be read. God's going to have this day.
Yeah.
Now, here's another thing. Not only that, but our words is going to be recorded in these books. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, Jesus said, but I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and thy words thou shalt be condemned. So not only can you judge by your words, but every word that you speak, every idle word, he says, that means every word that's not to the benefit and the glory of God. That means that he's going to say, look here. He's going to say, we're right here. Yeah, you went to church this time, but all you talked about was how so-and-so was dressed, and such, and these people and that people, and this is all they have to say about it. It's going to be recorded. He's going to say, you know what? You might have done good on this thing. You know what? You didn't do this thing, but this is what you said. Every idle word is recorded. And it's going to be read. Your entire lifetime is recorded and will be read out on these books. There's a record that is being kept as we go through life right now. Not only will it be our words, but even our intentions. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12, where the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So if the word of God can even discern what is the thoughts and intents, hey, listen, the Bible says that God searches the hearts and the reins, the mind and the heart of man. That he knows what's in my heart. He knows what's in your heart. So not only will we judge by our words, but even by our intentions. Let me ask you this. If I was to take your mind and the things that you thought that you ain't told nobody, you ain't told mom and dad, you ain't told a spouse, you ain't told your best friend, ain't nobody knows it. But if I could take that and I could put that on a projector screen and put it up here on the back wall where we could see it, you would never want to show your face around here, and I wouldn't either. I'd be right there with you. You know why? Because we're that simple. You know what? God knows all that. He's got a record of it up there, and it's going to be read. And he's going to say, you know what? Even whenever you did do this one thing, you didn't mean it for no other reason than that you could get a pat on the back. He knows those things. You know, when we question, sometimes we'll question whether or not we've got good intentions. God knows. Knows better than we do ourselves.
Yes.
And he says, not only will we judge by our works and by our words, but even by our intentions. He's not going to be swayed. He's not going to be convinced otherwise. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, be not deceived. There's Evan's words again. God is not mocked, meaning he's not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's not as if God is unjust in what he's doing in this judgment.
Right.
It's not as if anybody's not getting what they deserve. It says that you're reaping what you sow. When you plant tomato seeds, you don't grow cucumbers.
Right.
When you plant a watermelon seed, it does not produce an apple tree. He says that you will reap what you sow. Amen. And what we sow in these bodies, we will reap in judgment.
Yeah.
It's not as if God is being unfair or unjust. He is giving us what we deserve, because this is the fact that me and you and every single person that is born in this world, the Bible says, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bible says that they're judged and that they're given that second death. They're cast in the lake of fire. Verse number 13 and 14 says this is the second death. And then in verse 15 says this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The ultimate judgment is this, that their names are not recorded in that book of life, that Lamb's book of life, that book of life where that is recorded everyone who has been redeemed from death, from sin. Now the Bible says this, in John chapter 3, we know the famous John 3:16, love it. It's a great verse. It should be a well-known verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I thank God for that verse. What a blessing it is that we have that verse. To know that we can be born again because of Jesus. And then furthermore, it goes on to say this. It says, for whosoever believes in him is not condemned, but whosoever believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Yes.
And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. The condemnation is not because of all these things. Hey, the works will be recorded. The words will be recorded. The thoughts and intentions of the heart will be recorded. But that will not be the reason that anyone perishes and goes to hell. The reason will be ultimately because Jesus Christ was offered in your place and you have rejected it. And because of that, the condemnation will come.
Amen.
He goes on. Furthermore, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 31, the Bible says this, for if we continue to sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking forward of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. For under Moses' law, if a man was put to death under two or three witnesses, it says, how much sore punishment suppose ye should he be thought worthy of, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's saying that if we were to be judged according to our works and to our words, and if we were to be put to death according to those things, how much sore punishment. So not only will we be judged because we've rejected Christ, and that is the final condemnation, but there will be an even greater punishment because of the rejection of Christ. Because the Bible says he was offered, and he was trodden underfoot the Son of God, and continued to do things wrong. It says a lot of people that believe that they're right with God because they do this thing, because they do that thing. It's not but by our good works that are justified. When those works are read, they're going to do nothing but condemn us.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to get us access to that book of life is by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That and that alone is the only thing that can save us. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13, 14, 15. And I thank God for this. The Bible says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Later on today, if Satan is coming along and he's bothering you, if Satan's coming along and he's buffeting you, or if you're convicted in your heart, if you're later on today at any point in time this week, if you're convicted, if the word that God spoke to your heart this morning is doing something in your life at any point in time today or this week, write this down, Colossians 2, verses 13, 14, and 15. Write it down. You might need it this week. You might need it today. Write it down, Colossians 2, 13, 14, 15. Go and read it, because this is what I'm going to tell you about it. That my works were recorded up there. My words were recorded up there. My thoughts and intentions were recorded up there. And one day, whenever I stood in that judgment, they were going to be read, and I was to be condemned. But praise be to God, that whenever I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he took those things that were written against me, and the Bible says that he moved them out of the way. They were nailed to his cross.
Amen.
that cross, I imagine the pain that he suffered. Guess what the Bible says? By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify me, Isaiah prophesied. And I want to say this, he knew me, he knew you.
Yes.
There ain't nothing I've ever said or done or thought that escaped him. It wasn't as if he was going to pay for the sins of just some people he didn't have nothing to idea about. They ought to say this, he knew the weakness of my heart when he went. And every time he hit that hammer and that nail went through that hand, he said, there's another page gone. Praise God, there's another book that's been done away with. They ain't got nothing recorded up there about me but my name in the book of life.
Amen.
I thank God for that.
Amen.
That's what he's done. It says that he's full of principalities and powers. The Bible says the grass is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm glad to know this morning that the fight's going to be over with soon. Amen. That my Savior is coming, and that he's going to do away, and he's going to spoil. That means that he is going to absolutely, completely triumph over any kind of spiritual wickedness and anything that I wrestle with. Hey, I want to say, never, if you've been born again, you'll not have to struggle with it no more. What a blessed day that will be.
Amen.
Because of what he's done. I want to say this. This judgment is not something you should fear as a Christian.
Right.
It's not something that should make you nervous. It's not something that should make you lose hope. But this option should give you hope in knowing that you've been spared.
Yes.
For the Christian, it'll be cause for a day of great rejoicing because their names are written there in that book of life. For the redeemed, for those that have been born again and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, it'll be a day of praise and worship because we'll remember what all the Lord has spared us from. And we'll see what he has done for us. But for the lost and those who have not believed in the name of the Lord Jesus, it is going to be a day of misery. And forevermore, in eternity, in hellfire, and in that lake of fire, the fire is not quenched, and the worm dies not, in a constant, eternal state of decay and agony, they'll remember the words of the Lord. They'll remember the words. They'll remember the words. They'll remember the intentions of their heart that were revealed to them in that day. And they'll remember the fact that it was Jesus Christ who paid the debt they owed if they didn't even reject it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. One of you singers, whoever knows this can sing to it. I can't sing it. One of y'all come and sing. Sherry's going to come play. One of y'all who can sing. Matthew, one of y'all, I don't know. Vivian, somebody can sing this. Come up here and sing for me. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Solace, why don't you come up here and look at Daddy first? Zoe, if you want to, please come help me too. Everybody else, let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. answer for the question, just come and sit in. Learn and grow with us. Does anybody have anything else they want to say? Preacher Billy, if you would, this is